Father, thank you this morning for the time that you have given to us to study your word. And I pray as we have your word open before us and learn from it, I pray that you will teach us how we can grow from your word, how we can be obedient to it, how we can humbly submit to it, how we can see the value that's in it for our lives. And Father, we know that the best way perhaps that you instruct us in our lives is through your word. And so I pray that you'll help us to understand it this morning, and that you'll give us a clarity of mind as we listen and as we read, that you'll help us, that you'll teach us, that you'll lead us. And then, Father, I pray that you'll help us to, in turn, lead others to the truth of your word. We thank you for Jesus. We learn about him through your word. We've talked about him this morning. We've remembered his awesome sacrifice, and we're so thankful for that. And we offer this prayer in his name. Amen. Sometimes we struggle with how to use God's word in our lives. Recently on Facebook, I read an interesting comment that someone posted. It's kind of old. It's not new. It wasn't original with the poster. But he said, "What if we treated our Bibles like many of us treat our cell phones?" And, you know, it's a little bit gimmicky. I don't always like thinking about it like that. But, you know, a lot of us walk around with cell phones on our hips 24/7. People are getting woken up at 3 a.m. by a friend because they're getting a text of some kind. You got the cell phone with you all the time, and even on vacation I was doing a little texting myself with my cell phone. Not a lot, just a little bit, but you know, we got our cell phones with us all the time, and that's a value about how important that device is to us. We want to be connected to people, and we want to be able to be reached by people if they need us, so we carry a cell phone with us for that purpose. But what if we carried our Bibles with us like that? Or what if we memorized a verse, or just, you know, wrote a note card or something that had a couple verses on it, tucked that in our pocket for the day so that we could pull that out from time to time? It was worth thinking about, I thought, as I read that. Jesus himself spoke about a parable in the Gospels, and this is the parable of the pearl of great price. You may remember that, where a guy was out in the field and he found this tremendously valuable pearl just sitting there in the field. So immediately he ran off and he went and he gathered as much money as he needed to go back and buy that field. And he bought the field, not because he wanted the field per se, but because he knew that pearl was in there, that pearl of great price, and he did whatever it took for him to find that pearl of great price. What if we treated God's word as valuable as that man did that pearl? What if we saw God's word as that pearl in our lives? We did whatever it took to find the time and the wherewithal to go to God and spend that time with God in his word. What if we sacrificed? What if we gave up time? What if we gave up some things that we wanted to do because we viewed God's word as the pearl of great price? In my experience, sadly, and I read the Bible a lot, but sometimes I read it a lot because I feel like I have to read it. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. You're sitting there and maybe you feel guilty because you've been reading a novel for a couple hours or watching TV or something. You feel like, man, I really should be reading the Bible. I should be getting into God's Word. So you pick it up, and it's a struggle to read it, isn't it, at that point? When you're reading the Bible out of some feeling of guilt, doesn't that affect the way you read it? I know it does for me. So I pick the Bible up, and I'm reading it, but it's tough to plow through. It's tough to get through. I'm not really getting the insight out of it that God wants me to, because I'm more focused on reading it as an object or as a task rather than reading it to learn more about God. The truth is that the Bible teaches us how to follow God. The Bible teaches us about God. And by reading the Bible, by meditating on it, by obeying it, we draw closer to God. But the first thing we have to do, and this is what Paul teaches us in his letter to 1 Timothy, is that we must see God's word as something valuable. This is when we can go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and see what Paul says to Timothy in these words that Marvin read for us. I want to read them quickly again. Paul says, and he's writing to Timothy, but he says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The first thing that we need to do in seeing God's word as valuable is understand that God's word confirms us in the faith that we already have. And that's important. Sometimes we simply need to be reminded about what we already know. Sometimes we go through a difficult time in life, and maybe there's a specific set of life challenges, or something happens to us, or we read something new, and maybe it's a new presentation of something, and we think, I'm just not totally sure that I agree with that, or I don't know where to turn because of what happened to me. And sometimes it's useful to go back to the Bible and read it to be confirmed in what we already know, to be reminded that God, in fact, does care for us, to be reminded that God makes provisions for us, to be encouraged that God promises to be with us. In Bible study this morning, Marvin mentioned the Great Commission from Matthew 28. One of the things I love about that passage in Matthew chapter 28, all the way down to verses 19 and 20, is that Jesus himself promises to be with us until the end of the age. You know, sometimes it's useful for us to go back to the Word just to be reminded about what God has already done for us. It confirms us. The Word of God, the Bible, confirms us in what we already know about our faith. But it also guides us forward. As Paul says to Timothy here, you know the scriptures that have made you wise for salvation. The scriptures, the Bible, God's word, the truth in God's word leads us forward. As Christians, we're not called to know something once for all and then to stand there statically, never moving. You know the truth, the truism about how if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards, you're going the wrong way. So it's good to be confirmed from time to time about what we already know, but it's also good to keep being challenged by the Word, to go to the Bible, to find the truth that God is teaching us that will enable us to keep moving forward, to find out what God wants us to do. That's what the value of God's Word is. That's how we see it as valuable. It reminds us of what we already know. But it challenges us also to keep moving forward. It makes us wise for salvation when we combine it with faith. Now, you know, here's the truth. If we read the Bible, as I was talking about at the top, only to read it, if we read the Bible just to bust through a reading plan, we're not really paying attention to it. If we read the Bible out of guilt and obligation, we're not going to get a whole lot out of it. We may learn some things, we may pick up some things from time to time, but what we really need to do is go to the Word expecting that God's going to teach us. Knowing and believing that God's going to lead us through His Word. And see, we don't have to understand all the deepest details about the Bible. You don't have to be an expert on Paul's theology in Romans chapters 9 through 11. To get something out of the Bible, you don't have to have memorized the lists of kings and when the kingdoms broke apart and who went where. You don't have to know that. You simply need to go to the Bible expecting that God's going to lead you, teach you through His Word, and lead you in a way that will make you wise for salvation. That phrase simply means this. God teaches us what we need to know to follow Him. We follow God. We're on the path to salvation. We're baptized into His name, we're in salvation. We go to the Word so that He keeps leading us. He confirms us in what we already know. He leads us forward. He guides us forward through the truth that's in His Word. God's Word is trustworthy, Paul says to Timothy. In verse 16, we know Scripture is trustworthy because God is behind Scripture. God engineered Scripture to be what He wants it for us to be. That's what that phrase God breathed means. It means that God has worked in the formation of Scripture to give us what we need to be able to follow Him. And so Scripture is God breathed, and then Paul says it's useful. It has uses for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's pretty good. All of that leads towards training in righteousness. If we want to be changed, if we want to be transformed the way God calls us to be transformed in our lives through Jesus, that's going to come through teaching from the Word. It's useful for teaching us. It's useful for rebuking us when we're flat out wrong. How many times has this happened to you? You're reading the Bible, you read something, you've maybe read it 15, 20 times before, all of a sudden Something jumps off the page at you and you say, I got to change. You know what that is? That's God teaching you, rebuking you, showing you that's not good enough. You know better. You're called to better. And God's not doing it in a condemnatory way. He's not doing it in a judgmental way, but he's using his word to guide you deeper into the path of salvation. That's what God's doing. He corrects us. And sometimes we don't need to be rebuked. We simply need to be steered in a slightly different direction. Scripture will do that for us too. Sometimes things are going well. We keep reading the Bible and keep feeling like we're being challenged to step out in a totally different way, something new, some new ministry. Serve a person like this. Reach out to that person. God's training us in righteousness. We're becoming more righteous the more that we conform our lives to what God desires for us. And that's what Scripture's for. We have to start by seeing God's Word as something valuable for us. But we also have to humbly seek God through His Word. For this, I want to turn to Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. This, you know, I don't know if you've ever read Psalm 119. People get a little bit, you know, nervous about it, I guess. I don't know how long it is, 162 verses long. It's a long one, but it's a good one. You should read it sometime. Even if you take 2 or 3 days or a week to read it, jump into Psalm 119. It's a good psalm. But in our section today, I'm going to read 97 through 104. Just pay attention as I read this to how the writer here talks about the law, which we could substitute the Bible for, the God's Word, and look at how he views it and relates himself to it. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. The first thing this writer teaches us about God's word and about humbly seeking God through his word is that when we humbly seek God through his word, we gain wisdom and love for God through that. If we want to be wise, we're probably not going to find the wisdom that we truly seek by looking elsewhere other than God. God teaches us about wisdom in and through himself. He leaves us that teaching in his word. We find that as we meditate on his word, as we read it, as we think about it, as we try to apply his word in our lives. If we want wisdom, there's no better place to go than to the word, where we learn about it and are encouraged to put it into practice. We gain love for God through his word. You know, sometimes when we feel down in our lives and we're worried about how we really feel about God, you know, we've all been there time to time. We're not sure where we're at in our spiritual lives. Things feel like we're down. We're not sure what to do. The writer here is telling us, go back and read God's word. You'll find a greater love for him. Now, why is that? I think it's because of what we've already read in 2 Timothy. Because when we go back to read God's word, we find out first what God has already done for us, and then what God promises to do for us in the future. Also, what he's already doing for us in the present. And we get God's view of us and how he relates to us, past, present, and future. And when we understand that, it causes us to love God more. To see what he's really doing for us and how that impacts our life, how he's active in our lives, and it causes us to love him more. He also says that we draw closer to God through his word. The more that we read the Bible and see what God has done, is doing, and will do, we're challenged to be drawn closer to him. When we understand that God is the one who protects us and that God is the one who shelters us, and that God is the one who loves us, and that God is the one who gives provisions for us, and that God is the one who teaches us, and that God is the one above all who really wants good things for us, when we understand that, which we only get by reading His Word, we're drawn closer to Him. At least we ought to be. And I suppose there's a way that we might not be. If we're really callous and cold of heart, then we may not see that as we read. But if we're ever in doubt about how God really feels about us, and again, things happen in life, and sometimes we've had some bad teaching. People feel like it's because someone told them this or they read it in a book. If you're a Christian, only good things ever happen to you. That's not true. You know that's not true when you read the Bible. Sometimes things happen. So when we wonder how God relates to us when things, difficult things are happening to us, we simply go back to the Bible. We read it. We see what God's doing in our life. It draws us closer to Him. God's Word teaches us the right way to live. This is the one thing that the writer of the Psalm experienced above all else, that when he read the law, and again, we can substitute the Bible for the law, when he read the Bible, when he meditated on the Bible, he learned what God wanted from him. And when he learned what God wanted from him, it simply became a matter of doing. It ceased being a matter of having to figure it out. He simply needed to do what he had learned. That's why ultimately we have to be moved to action through God's Word. If we read God's Word and take these things in, but are not moved to action as a result, we're not getting the most out of God's Word that we can. We're not fully following God as He wants. He wants us all to move into action, because it's in the action that we can receive confirmation in our lives about the truth of God's Word. You know, God tells us to love someone else, and we say, I know that. But it's in the loving, the actual loving of someone else, that we understand what God is about. You know, God tells us to serve people, and we say, I know that. I'm just going to wait for them to serve me first. And then we wonder why the Bible never makes much sense to us. But when we say, I'm going to do what I learned, and I'm going to go serve a person, then we understand what God's calling us to. We understand what Jesus' life was really about. A man comes to earth and lives so sacrificially that he gives his life on behalf of a world that he doesn't even know. Why? Because that's who God is. And we learn that when we put God's Word into action. If we read God's Word properly, as Psalm 119 suggests, then we will obey it. If we read God's Word and find ourselves not wanting to obey it, I suggest we're not reading it properly. We may be reading it from a hard heart. We may be reading it from an attitude of wanting to be served rather than to serve. But if we read God's Word properly, we will obey it. One of the verses from 2 Timothy, and I'm just going to flip back there really quick here, just 2 Timothy chapter 3:17, tells us that we need to be moved to action through God's Word. In 16, he's pointed out that Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, but there's a purpose for Scripture to be useful like that. There's a purpose behind it. The purpose is this, in 17, so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. See, Scripture doesn't exist just to give us something to teach. And I know some of us would like Scripture to exist just so we can rebuke and correct people. Okay, I know some of us love those parts of Scripture that we think let us go in and rebuke and correct people, and then we read this passage and we love it. But that, you know, it doesn't exist just as an object to let us go and rebuke and correct people. It doesn't exist as an object just to give us information about training in righteousness. 17 says, so that all, hear that, all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All. Not just the preacher and some other people that I think ought to be doing more than they are. I'm not going to get involved myself, but I'm going to critique other people like the Bible tells me I can. Wrong. All God's people are to be equipped by God's word for every good work. You know, we pick up the paper, we read about good things happening. Should have been a Christian doing that. Maybe we should have been there. You know, the good works happening around us, We got to start finding ways to get involved in that. Because the good works going on around us are, guess what? The work of God. We discover that work through God's word, and he calls us and leads us into that if we're following him. Missed a couple slides. Sorry. How do we start this? You know, I hope you feel this morning like you want to get more convicted about God's word. I hope you feel like you trust God's word to be valuable. You want to humbly seek God through his word. And you believe that in the doing of God's word, you'll find what you're really looking for. But at the end of the day, this is easier said than done. And, I grew up listening to sermons by good men, godly men, but they were teaching. There was a lot of instruction, not a whole lot of application. And I hope my sermons give you some application. If they don't, let me know, please, because that's where we got to go. It's what Scripture is teaching us this morning, is we have got to put God's word into practice. And so today, I want to give you a few simple parameters that you can use to find your way into God's word and then back into the world in service to him. Starts by picking a book of the Bible. Pick something you're going to read. I don't think I put that one up there. I ran out of space. Read one on the slide. Read one chapter from a book of the Bible. I'm saying pick a book of the Bible, maybe a shorter one. Maybe pick something like, well, maybe 2 Timothy, for example. 2 Timothy is 4 chapters long. You could read 2 Timothy every 4 days, so inside of a month you could read it 7 times. So pick a book, maybe like 2 Timothy, and resolve to read one chapter a day for a month. This is what I call the 30-day challenge. I was going to make a fancy card to hand out, but I ran out of time. Sorry. Maybe I'll get to it next week. But this is the 30-day challenge. So you pick a book of the Bible and resolve to read one chapter of that book every day for a month. If you have to end up rereading the book several times, that's fine. If you pick a long book like, I don't know, Isaiah, 66 chapters, not getting through that in a month. Well, you can. I'm encouraging you to read one chapter just to make it manageable. If you don't get through a book, that's fine. But the bottom line is, pick a book of the Bible to read and resolve to read one chapter of it each day. Before you read, while you read, and after you read, pray for wisdom and insight into God's word. You're only reading one chapter, and you may feel like, well, there's not a whole lot here to get. And sometimes, that's just us resisting the truth that's in God's word. You know, if you sit down to read the word already convinced that you're not going to get anything out of it, you're not going to get anything out of it. So we need to pray before our reading, during our reading, and after our reading for wisdom and insight from God into his word. Then we need to pray and meditate on his word and think about it during the day, so that when we find ourselves in a situation where we can put God's word into practice, it's fresh on our minds. Because we've read it, because we've done a lot of praying about it, and because we're continuing to think about it during the day. Then we find ourselves somewhere, all of a sudden, guess what? Everything clicks. Now God's word makes sense. Now I see what God's calling me to do because I've been reading it. I've been praying about it. I've been thinking about it, and now I see how to put it into practice. And so the final step becomes obedience. Doing God's word. Performing God's word, if you will. You know, one way of looking at the Bible is looking at it like it's a script, and we're the dramatic performers. And we get our cues from the script, and then we got to go out and perform the word. We're the performers for God. We're the ones performing his word. And so that's my encouragement to you today. It's to start today. Go for the next 4 weeks. To try this. One chapter a day from a book. Book of the Bible. Pray before, during, and after you read. Meditate on it. Think about it. Pray about its application. So that when you're out, you can see how you can apply his word. And then do it. It's in the doing of God's word that we learn the value of God's word, and that we learn how God is calling us to more. To be obedient servants of his. It's not enough for us to have the knowledge up here. if it doesn't find a way from up here out through our bodies and into our lives. That's what he calls us to in his word. To see God's word as valuable, to humbly seek God, and then to obey God by putting his word into action. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray that you'll help us to learn these things this morning. I pray that you'll help us to humbly seek you in your word, even though others around us may not care, may think that we're foolish, may not encourage us. But Father, I pray that we will find our encouragement first from you and then from the rest of us who care about following you. Father, I pray that you'll teach us, that you'll instruct us, and that when it comes time to put your word into practice, I pray that you will give us the grace to do so, the strength to do so, and the courage to reach out in new ways. Help us to become more like Jesus as we follow him by being obedient to you. We thank you for Jesus. We offer this prayer in his name. Amen.